Hallelujah. You know, the Bible is so complete. It's so, when God gave a parable or he gave an illustration, he gave an extreme this way and he gave an extreme that way. So you're guaranteed to fit it somewhere in there. There's nobody going to get by. He said there was a poor man that sat at the gate of a rich man who had nothing but rest for his soul. And he begged for the crumbs from this rich man who had plenty. He had rest in his pocketbook, but his soul didn't have rest. And then we go over here and eternity showed up. And they both live forever. Eternal life is, everybody's going to have eternal life. It's whether you get rest in your eternal life or not. And the man who had rest in his soul was found in the bosom of Abraham. He didn't have rest with his pocketbook. His life was a turmoil. But Lord, he found a resting place in faith. But the rich man who had rest on earth and did not have to work and all these kind of things, he was in torment. So these parables and things that the Lord gives, you're going to fit in there somewhere. Somewhere you're going to fit in there. So find where you fit. Every parable, find you in that parable. There's not a parable he gave you can't find yourself in there. Kingdom of heaven is like unto, you're in there somewhere. Ooh, I'm not even ready to preach yet. Thank the Lord. Thank you, Sister Tevye. We're going to let you go, and she needs to help Brother Chris up there. And let me read a scripture, and then I'm going to get started here. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9, and then 2 Corinthians 2 and 11. And while you're turning there, in case you haven't heard, Brother Douglas had a heart attack today, and the short of it is he's doing okay. He collapsed at his house and was able to call someone to say, I can't get up. And his neighbor jumped the fence, entered the house, called 911, and I thank God for the men that showed up to support Brother Douglas and Sister Douglas. And they got him to the hospital and stabilized him. He had 100% closure of one artery, 70 of the other. They put a stent in there, opened up the one. I think the other one, they're still going to wait on that a little while. But as I told him in the prayer room, I got to see him before he went into recovery, and he's still Brother Douglas. I'm telling you, he's still on fire. Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians 8 and 9, but keep him and Sister Douglas in your prayers. But take heed, lest by any means, say that with me, lest by any means, let's say that together, lest by any means, this liberty of yours becomes a stumbling block to them that are weak. Then reading in 2 Corinthians 2 and 11, lest Satan should get an advantage, or we say it this way, one up on you, get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. I want to teach to you tonight, and truly I'm going to give you about four passages of scriptures that contain this phrase, lest by any means. Say that with me again. Lest by any means. Lord, I come before you this Tuesday night. We are not ignorant to Satan. You make us, Lord, wise through your spirit, Lord, that we have something inside of us that tries the spirits to see if they be of God. And Lord, help us to exercise those things, Lord, our senses. Let them be quickened by the Spirit of the Lord so that we know good from bad, Lord, and what we should do and shouldn't do. And the ways that Satan enters into our lives, let us block those ways. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I just wrote a little note here, and a couple things I jotted down while I was praying in the prayer room and all that. I just want to tell somebody, this is a side note, this too shall pass. Whatever that is to you, well, you take that and run with it, but whatever it is, I want you to know, trouble won't last forever. This too shall pass. And then I wrote another little note about the ways of the Spirit. No one really knows all the ways of the Spirit. And I pray many times, God, teach me your ways. But he's got so many ways that I can't keep up with all the ways that God does things, right? He's got so many ways he does things. I would have never thought a man could go in a pit and end up in the palace. but that was his way. I would have never thought that man could have been saved by a man dying on a cross and a virgin. I wouldn't have thought that would have been the way. But he told Martha at that tomb, he said, I am the way. I am the way. Just so if he is the way, he's omnipresent, he's omnipotent, he's omni-everything. So he's got many, many ways. And I pray, God, teach me your ways. But Lord, by the time I learn one of his ways, he's got another way. And he said, you can't really know all the ways of the Spirit. For he told Nicodemus that the wind, the Spirit is like the wind, and the wind bloweth how it listeth. It's going to go like it wants to go. No man can stop it. It can be out of the south today, the north tomorrow, and in the west. You can't control that, and neither can you control the Spirit. But such is everyone born of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so we are born of the Spirit through baptism in his name and through applying the blood of Jesus to us. And so none of us can really tell what God will do next. If you can, you're a prophet. I'm serious. If you can, then you are a prophet. I'd like to talk to you. I need more of that in my life. I'd like to know. And I'm not talking about what hot stock will be hot tomorrow. That's not what I'm talking about. But I'd like to know, what do I need to do to help build this church again? What do I need to do? Tell me something that will help me further us in the kingdom of God. Because I would love to know what I can do in advance, so we'll be ready when that day comes. But all I know to do is to be led by the Spirit. David had a son that he had by Bathsheba, this illegitimate son. And so when this boy was born, the prophet told, I mean, this was the prophet, told David, said, you won't die, but that boy will. Well, David could have said, well, the prophet said it, so let's go play golf. You know, he's going to die anyway. I mean, I messed up. I'm sorry, I messed up. Let's go play golf. But he didn't do that. Even though the prophet said this boy shall die, we find him on his face. He's not eating. He's not drinking. And his servant's saying, Master, get up. Eat, King. Let's you need some strength. And he's like, leave me alone. Leave me alone. And he stayed down there crying. And they said, what are you doing that for? He said, who can tell what God will do? And so when he saw them whispering, he saw that he understood. He said, what are y'all whispering about? He said, well, the child is dead. He said, well, now it's over. And he got up. He washed himself. He went to the house of God to worship, and he went and comforted his wife, Bathsheba. So you can't figure people who live for God out either, is what I'm trying to tell you. Because they live by the Spirit. Even though the prophet said that, I heard what it said, but Lord, who can tell? He might repent and change his mind. And so I wanted just to throw that out there to somebody. Still not even part of my message. You don't know what God's doing. All you can do is pray that God will hear and answer from heaven. I do know this, when you humble yourself and turn from your wicked ways, he said, you'll hear me from heaven. Hallelujah. I'll heal your land. Lest by any means. Paul is written this. In the 2 Corinthians, he said, lest Satan would get one up on you, get an advantage on you. And I hear them play tennis. I don't know much about tennis, but they'll say advantage. You know, it's never Baggett, but advantage Petrie, you know. I mean, he's one up on you. He's over you. He's got the lead, and you're trying to catch up. And so we don't want Satan to get an advantage over us so that we're always trying to catch up. And that he's about to win, and we're always trying to win. So I want to talk about, and when he wrote this, if we would read, and I don't have time, but 3 or 4 verses that led into this, you know what he's talking about? An unforgiving spirit. He said, that's what led him to say, lest Satan should get an advantage. Because he's talking about, if you don't forgive like Christ forgave you, Lord, Satan's got an advantage over you. He's got a big advantage over you, because you can't be forgiven unless you forgive. So this is one of those things. And there are many weapons that can be used to destroy, wound, kill somebody. There's all kinds of things that can be used. You name it. That speaker right there can be used to kill somebody, hurt somebody. I can take that keyboard. I can take them drumsticks and kill somebody. I can take my shoe off and kill somebody. I can take your pair of glasses and hurt somebody. You give me a rope, I can hurt. I can take this Bible and choke you to death. It doesn't matter what. I take those Kleenex stuff in your mouth, suffocate you. There are so many means of being destroyed. so many ways. I take that brooch you got and throw that down your throat and stuff. That'd kill you. Guess so. That one would for sure, wouldn't it? But there are so many ways that evil, less by any means. There's so many ways to destroy. I looked up the statistic. I kind of got curious as I was trying to study this a little bit this evening. I got curious and I wondered what statistics say. And this is what I found. 67% of people that die by guns. 67%. 33% die by other means. Still a major part by that, but by other means. So 33% of the deaths did not happen with a gun. It happened by, it could be a root. Someone took a pine knot and knocked somebody up the head and mortally wound them. The enemy, I'm here to tell somebody, the enemy will use more than your mother-in-law to destroy you. That's a good one, but that's not the only one. It's a major one, but it's not the only one. He'll use any means. He'll even use you. He'll use you to destroy you. There is an enemy. Yeah. And he'll use any means that he can to destroy your life, your relationship with God, your relationship with others. And no wonder Paul said, though we walk in the flesh, he said, let's do not war after the flesh. Even though I walk in the flesh, I don't want to war with the flesh. Even though I'm going to live in the flesh, I don't want to be part of the carnal flesh. For our weapons, he said, of warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Amen. Anybody ever know what a stronghold is? It don't have to be a big thing. It can be a little thing, but it's got a stronghold. Addictions are strongholds in people's lives. But he said, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity. Everyone say captivity. Every thought to the disobedience of Christ. Every weapon that Satan can use against you must be brought into captivity. Anybody think they have a weapon? Hold it up that you could do some damage with. Hold it up. Anybody? Got anything close? It doesn't matter what it is. Got a weapon. That purse is, that's an awesome weapon. You don't even need to take anything out of it. Just, ooh, got a knife over here. Let me show you. Bring it into captivity every thought. Give me that. Give me that. You don't have it anymore. I got it. Any more weapons out there? I saw somebody getting some weapons over here. That's a weapon. Give me that. Give me that. And no matter what you hold up, give me that. That's a weapon back there. Let me have that. Lord, you can knock me in the head in the dark with that thing. Give me that. Give me that. Now, who's got them? I got them. The enemy don't have them. How can they use on me what they don't have? So I bring into captivity everything. Now, who had the key and who had the knife? I can't remember. Yeah. Bring into captivity everything that could be used against you so that it can't be used against you. Because if I got it, you don't. And so we have to learn. He even talked about every thought that would go against the knowledge or what the Bible teaches, captivity. He led captivity captive. Meaning he put the people that was over the people that had his people in captive, he made them captive. And so we need to take away from Satan those things, lest by any means he use that umbrella on me. That key, that thing that makes me angry, that thing that I struggle with. And I got to bring that into captivity. Because if I can bring it into captivity, you can't use that on me. So Paul gives us these four things in these four places. He says, lest by any means. So let's look at those tonight in our study. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 8 and 7. And the first thing, if somebody wants to write this down, I wish you would. There's four things I want to talk to you about of the lest by any means that Paul mentioned here. And the first one, before I read the scripture, means number one, I'll call it that, is things that don't matter. Things that don't matter. Let's look. Howbeit, there is not in every man that knowledge. He's talking about the circumcision. People have come to Christ, and there's an argument about circumcision. There's an argument about if you're not circumcised under Moses' law, you can't be saved. There's an argument about can you eat pork or pigs, we call them, because they are offered to idols. But he said, you know, not everybody's on the same level. But there's something I want you to know. It don't matter. And you're fussing and fighting about something that don't matter. Lest by any means, he'll get you to fighting about something that don't matter. So watch. Howbeit, there is not in every man that knowledge of some with conscience of idols unto this hour. I think I might have went. Am I still there? Okay. Eat it as a thing offered unto an idol, and their conscience being weak is defiled. But meat commendeth us not to God. You're arguing about something that doesn't even matter. Now think about what you go through. Does it really matter? Does it have eternal weight? Or will it mess you up with eternal life? Oh, you're taking something that doesn't really matter and making it such a big deal that you're making, you're lost and I'm saved, you're wrong and I'm right. And it doesn't even, lest by any means. But meat commendeth us not to God, for neither if we eat are we better. Neither if we eat not, are we the worse? It doesn't matter. But take heed, lest by any means this liberty that God has given you, this liberty of yours, become a stumbling block unto them that are weak. You tripping somebody else and you're going to trip yourself and people are going to be lost because you're squabbling about something that, as my daddy used to say, don't amount to a hill of beans. For if any man see thee, which hath knowledge, sit at meat in the idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him which is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols? And though thy knowledge shall the weak, and through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish, for whom Christ died? Did Christ die in vain? You're going to hurt your brother because maybe you have knowledge that it's okay. He doesn't understand that. Let me tell you, when people are blind to something, they are blind to it. And you can tell them they're wrong, and you can tell them it's a sin, and you can say, God convicted me of that. Well, Lord, if he ain't convicted them, it doesn't matter. But when ye sin against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, ye sin against Christ. Anytime, what you should do, if you got a conviction about something, try your best to open their eyes through knowledge. Through knowledge. Because he called them ignorant. They're weak because they're ignorant. They're not weak because they're weak in spirit. They're just not, don't understand it. But if they could understand it, they may have the same conviction you do. But if you try to force a conviction on somebody who doesn't understand it, they'll turn them out of the way. And then all of a sudden, you have sinned against Christ. And I hate to tell you, but there's been many a person that tried to win somebody else and lost them because they sinned against Christ. They tried to force something on them that they were not ready to receive. All right, so that was number one. Means number two, carnality, the wonderful word carnality. It's like a carnival, right? Carnival is where all the carnality is. It's where you have fun and all these kinds of things, and you just get carried away with the things of the world. 1 Corinthians 9 and 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize, so run that ye may obtain. Now, he's not saying, well, just one person's going to be saved, so there's no need for me to go. I'm not as fast or smart as him or never will be as wise as him. That's not what he's saying. What he's saying is, if you're going to run, run with all you've got. Run with everything you've got. And you have to run like I'm the one going to win the prize. And every man that striveth for mastery is temperate in some things. No, he's temperate in all things. Let me just say this. You cannot be the master of one thing and just be loose on everything else. Nobody's going to follow you. Nobody's going to believe in you. Well, I'm the master of this. Well, that's good, but you know you've got trouble over here and you're not mastered this. Master it all. He's temperate in all things, not one thing. Now, they do it for obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible crown. In other words, they're doing it for carnal reasons. We are doing it for spiritual reasons. I therefore so run, not as uncertainty, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body. Yeah, I keep under my body and bring it into captivity. There's that subjection. I must conquer myself. Carnality.